And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. One of those things that in retrospect for us is hard to understand, their indignation at the healing of someone because it was done on the Sabbath day. But, you know, you have to understand that in the Old Testament, Israel was very lax in following God's laws, and God punished them for it, and they became very sensitive about following the law very strictly. And they went to the other side of the coin, which was zealous legalism, where because man finds it difficult to adhere always with the spirit of the law in his heart, we can, through force and compulsion, and through the law, force people to outwardly observe things. And then the Sabbath law itself becomes a sort of thing you become a slave to. And they couldn't see that this was not a violation of the Sabbath for a miracle. That kind of a work is not exactly servile labor. You know, on the Sabbath day, thou shalt do no servile labor. He's loosing her from Satan, and he likens it to loosing an animal so that it can go drink. And it's an act of mercy, not of defiance or of disobedience. Jesus, as he has claimed to be Lord of the Sabbath, understands the Sabbath better than anybody and what ought to be done on the Sabbath. So he puts his adversaries to shame because the way he worded his response made it really embarrassing. Verse 18, then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. I teach these 2 parables. They're basically the same thing. And I teach them in a way that some people would probably find fault with, because I see the growth and expansion of this in a negative light. Because leaven is likened to false doctrine. You know, when he said, beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees, he meant beware of their doctrine. And what does leaven do? It causes the meal to grow more than it otherwise would when baked. Same thing with the mustard seed here, is that mustard does not, it is an herb, it does not grow into a tree. Even the biggest variety of mustard herb could hardly be called a tree. I mean, a great tree? And very simply, this parable is obviously seen to be true. Look at Christianity. Look at it. All the denominations, all the expansion that the kingdom of God has gone through, the kingdom of God being cast into the earth and into people's minds, has caused this great religion to crop up that does not really resemble the original, but nevertheless is the byproduct of it. The birds of the air lodging, and represents, you know, the overlords of the church. As the birds rule the roost in the trees, so these men rule over the people who would be followers of Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses here. We've got Mormons there. We've got Catholics there. We've got Protestants. We've got Lutherans. We've got Calvinists. We've got Methodists. We've got all manner of, you know, assemblies of God, all these different little groups. We've got the Armenians over there, the Greek Orthodox over there. We've got the Chinese church. We've got the people down in Africa doing their thing. We've got all kinds of groups and diversities. And there's this major thing that's grown up beyond what the kingdom of God really is. And I find it fascinating that Luke placed the next section right after this, because the question comes to be, are there few that be saved? Because if you interpret these 2 parables of the leaven and of the mustard seed in the way that is commonly done, which is, oh, this means, you know, the kingdom of God is going to go into the world and really make the world a better place. Rather than the kingdom of God is going to be in the world and it's going to be used by the world as leaven. And it's going to be a corrupting influence. Not that the kingdom of God corrupts, but in the minds of corrupt men, the scriptures can be used to do all kinds of evil. And this is true. It's true. And people know this. I mean, historically, it's the truth that men, you know, all the men who lead into false doctrine are holding the Bible. The Bible is the leaven they use. It's the spin they put on it, I know. But still, everyone's got their spin, right? Well, I suppose you could look at it that way, but that's a very cynical way of looking at the world, because then it ends up being, well, who can know the truth? I mean, you can't know that I know the truth, but that's not really my concern. I don't consider it my job to convince anyone of anything, really, but rather to proclaim the truth, and that those who can hear it will hear it, and those who don't, don't. You know, we are not those who handle the Word of God deceitfully. You know, they have cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And they all handle this word. They all handle this word. The kingdom of God into the world is like leaven. They use it to puff up, to increase. The Bible is very profitable to them. It's a very profitable enterprise in making disciples, in making converts. Because it's an interesting book, because so many people's eyes are closed to it. They come to it blindly, and they don't understand. And even people who think they understand really don't. It's funny, I see so many wise people who don't understand what is said, because it has not entered into their hearts. And they'll say, you're just another guy with an opinion. That's exactly how I appear to you. But to others who have ears to hear, this is the absolute truth. That's why the kingdom of God is like leaven. Because its addition to the world has caused all this unnatural growth, meaning it's grown out of proportion to what it should be. Meaning the kingdom of God is just this narrow thing. It's this very narrow truth. This very precise thing. You know, the script, think about it. There's someone recently wrote to me, 10 people, 10 different opinions when it comes to the Bible.